and it became a parent agency based primarily on the perception of a third party. In this case, it would be the processor or Mr. Monson. Whereas in the situation of implied actual authority, we're looking more towards what is believed by the agent himself, in this case, Mr. Levy. And the evidence, the uncontradicted evidence on the record, is that Mr. Levy certainly believed that he had the agency in order to accept the service of process on behalf of Mr. Mansfield. So while in this case, I don't think that there is a dispute that we have apparent agency in this case. I may be wrong about that, but
doesn't the information about Levy come from the process server? Levy didn't testify, is that right?
Mr. Levy did not appear and testify, no. So, but
Levy didn't. Was there an affidavit submitted by Levy?
There was an affidavit submitted by Mr. Levy that failed to address any of the representations of agency that had been made. That affidavit was submitted after the testimony of the process server on a motion for reconsideration.
So the evidence comes from the process server and from Mr. Mansfield.
The evidence as to Mr. Levy's representations comes from the process server, correct. But if there's a question as to the level of sufficiency of that proof of justice, I would submit that every day in this state, probably 50 times this morning at the Dane County Courthouse, judgments were entered against individuals based upon representations of process servers and affidavits of service. I mean, that is a particularly appropriate way to advise the court that appropriate service has been obtained. And in this case, the elements of that service, the agency representation made by Mr. Levy, his expression of his belief that he is Mr. Mansfield's agent, both individually and on behalf of the corporation, has remained uncontradicted.
Aren't there instances all the time where people say, I was authorized to do something, and then when you go back and you look, in fact, that authorization was not given. And then we have to look at the person giving the authorization and determining whether there is agency.
Well, I think I can say exactly what you're getting to, Justice, and I think that this is one of the cruxes of this case that we're going to have to deal with, because in this situation, we have an out-of-state defendant who has a burden of proof on a motion to vacate the judgment, who refuses to show in court and provide testimony, who refuses to subject himself to cross-examination, who refuses to produce his agent. The agent is then not subject to cross-examination. All we have is a one-line conclusory.
Is all of that in the record? I missed it if it was.
Actually, it is in the record, Justice, because if you look at the proceedings of the trial court, there is nothing in the record to indicate any appearance by Mr. Mansfield or Mr. Levy. There is an appearance by Mr. Monson.
Okay, but I mean, you went through this litany of he refuses to do this, he refuses to do that, he refuses to do that. And I don't read all of the records.
Perhaps I should change refuses to fails, because I don't think that there's a dispute that he failed to do that when he had the burden. Now, Mr. Mansfield certainly had the opportunity to come and dispute these.
I want to follow up, if I may, on Justice Butler's question, which dovetailed with what I read. Perhaps I read it too quickly, because I know sometimes when you're reading and listening, it doesn't sink in, but it's exactly what Justice Butler said in his question, or at least he advanced. Federal courts have held that claims by an agent of having authority to receive process or the fact that an agent actually accepts process is not enough to bind the defendant to the court's jurisdiction. Here's the important part. There must be evidence that the defendant intended to confer that authority upon the agent in order to satisfy the terms of 4E2, which is the federal counterpart. Now, where is the evidence that the not just the proclamation of Levy, but where is the evidence in this record that the defendant intended to confer that authority upon Levy?
I think the evidence of the intent comes from all of the circumstances that, some circumstances that we've gone through before, Justice, but in addition, the representations and the actions of Mr. Mansfield after service, where he in effect ratifies the service by engaging in settlement discussions. As the record makes clear, I think It's in paragraph 16 of the complaint before the case was filed. There were discussions between counsel as to try how to resolve the case that Mr. Mansfield had no interest in. Subsequent to the service of process, subsequent to receiving the summons and complaint, it is undisputed that Mr. Mansfield engaged in discussions with the principal in an attempt to resolve the case. He, in effect, acknowledges that he is now subject to legal process through the actions of his agent and tries to resolve the claims.
If you receive